Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer for Kent's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hope you had a great weekend. It was relaxing. You got to rest up and get ready for the work week. What is going on today right here on Locked On Spurs? We're going to be discussing a couple topics. As usual, we're going to catch you up on some Spurs news and notes, some things you may have missed. But the main event is, again, still getting ready for the next season. It's just right around the corner. And you're going to start thinking, like, who's going to have the highest usage rate now? And I ask that because, well, the big guy, DeMar DeRozan, he's gone. He led the team last year in usage rate. So, yeah, who's going to pick up the slack? How are the Spurs are going to adapt to life without DeMar DeRozan? To do that and more, I am joined by my new old colleague. I don't know how to describe that, Tom, because you and I used to work together years ago. There was a pause. And now we're back together. He is Tom Petrini, my new colleague at Kent's 5 San Antonio. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at RealTomPetrini. Tom, welcome to Locked On Spurs, your debut.
Actually, it's not my debut because years ago, we were at the WNBA draft together in New York City.
That's right.
When now the Aces took Kelsey Plum. First time in a long time,
yeah,
but not first time long time. It's great to be back working with you, though, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that WNBA draft. Yeah,
that was a blast. That night was
that
great.
Was fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. That it was very not like the NBA draft. I remember it was just like free reign. I mean, players were walking everywhere right in front of us. It was quite the experience. But yeah, it's a shame. But hey, we'll definitely be talking about the Aces
balling out.
Yeah. And wasn't Markelle Fultz there?
I don't know if he was there. I know he and Kelsey Plum knew each other because they were both UW players. And Kelsey Plum, I mean, like, I think the list of all-time NCAA basketball scoring is like Pistol Pete and her. Like, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Well,
so yeah, big time baller.
Definitely be talking about the Aces later on in the show. Some good news. So, yeah. And no, I wish I was saying that they were coming back to San Antonio, but they're not. But hey, there was a nod to San Antonio. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So, Tom, let's dive into this. So, you know, gone is DeMar DeRozan and the other couple of veterans, Gay and Mills. They're all gone. And, you know, Pop, you know, he loves them veterans. He plays them a lot. When Rudy was out and he came back into the lineup, you know, he got some minutes. But now with this rebuild going on, it's time to look at who is going to be that guy, who is going to have the highest usage rate. That belonged to DeMar DeRozan last season. This is a new chapter in Spurs history, a new beginning. How do you see the Spurs going on as far as the usage rate is concerned? You know, is it going to be by committee? Do you expect an individual player that Pop is going to turn to say, you know what, buddy, you're the guy?
Well, I think that it's one of those things where, you know, you look at how they operated down the stretch at close games last year, and there was no question that DeMar DeRozan was going to get the ball.
Yeah.
And try to make a play. And, you know, you do that with your best player. It makes sense to do with a player, especially of DeRozan's playmaking caliber that he kind of grew into as a Spur. You know, his playmaking improved a lot as a Spur. For his teammates, I mean. But so when you lose a guy like that and a guy like Patty Mills and Rudy Gay, frankly, who all of them were taking up pretty high usage off the bench or starting for this team. I think that the rule, because you're not wrong, and Pop loves his vets, but something that really struck me, I'm going through and writing about every player that's on the Spurs roster. And that means I'm writing about at least two guys who are not going to be in San Antonio at the start of the season. I think the two least likely to stay are Al-Farouq Aminu and Thad Young. And if both of those guys are gone, the Spurs are not going to have a single player over the age of 30 on this team, which is just wild to think about. You know, especially it feels like the last 10 years or so, people have thought of the Spurs as like old. And they have been, but they're not anymore. So Pop loves his veterans. The most veteran Spur right now is DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. And I think that both he and Derek White are going to be, you know, doing some really important work for this Spurs mm-hmm. team running the offense.
Right.
And seeing the two of them play together, they've been together on this team for a long time, but we really haven't seen a lot of minutes where DeJounte Murray and Derek White are sharing the court together.
Mm-hmm.
White, obviously, in the past has offered more three-point shooting, whereas DeJounte is more the slasher type. And just spacing-wise, it makes more sense for a guy like DeJounte to have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you've got Derek spacing the floor. And that doesn't mean that Derek won't be creating and pick and roll himself or attacking off the catch. But if I had to put my money on who's going to – not just who's going to lead this team in terms of usage rate,
mm-hmm.
but also be the guy that the Spurs go to down the stretch, I think it's probably going to be DeJounte Murray. There's going to be more opportunity for Lonnie Walker on the bench, I think, at least a consistent six-man role for him. You know, so I think when you lose three guys who all work with the ball in their hands and, you know, Pop trusts because they're veterans, when you lose three of those guys, it forces Pop to play everybody else a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, you look at last season, we know who the guy was. It was DeMar DeRozan. Okay, so that's a given. He's gone. Good luck to him in Chicago. Interesting enough, though, it was Derek White that was second on the team last year in usage rate and followed by Rudy Gay. You're asking, well where's DeJounte Murray? He actually had, he was 57% usage rate. So interesting, though, that of the two, you hit it on the head earlier, you know, Pop went to Derek White because he provided more than what Murray does. But let's talk about DeJounte. You said that you're expecting him to see a lot of usage out there. He's going to get out there. But how much is it going to hit him if he does not show that he can do more than just penetrate, drive, and facilitate? Because it's an open shot league. It's can you make shots beyond the arc? He hasn't shown he can do that.
Right. I think that DeJounte Murray, what he has shown is that he has improved every year. And really at this point in his career, that's the one thing that's left to improve. Because when he came into the league, there were questions about, like, you know, oh yeah, he's a really shifty guy off the dribble, but like, mm-hmm. you know, can he defend at all? And like, you know, the shot will come later, but like, can he defend? Mm-hmm. And of course, he could defend. He can defend quite well. He proved that really early on. The jump shot, he's building it step by step, it seems, where he came into the league not really having a strong jump shot at all. And he's gotten to a point where off the dribble, getting to his spots in the mid-range, he's incredibly effective. He's around 40, 45 or 47% on those pull-up mid-range jump shots. And that puts him among the most, you know, efficient high-volume guys in the league with that type of shot. So he absolutely does need to improve his three-point shooting. But I don't think that it's unreasonable to think that this year he could shoot 35% on mostly catch-and-shoot threes on two or three attempts per game. He doesn't need to shoot the lights out from deep. You know, if you're strong in other areas, you don't need to be a sniper, especially with all of the guys that the Spurs added to help them with three-point shooting.
Doctor created, doctor recommended, works up to 7 days per use. I'm talking about SweatBlock. Hey, look, excessive sweating can be difficult to talk about. Luckily for you, there's SweatBlock to help you through it. Dry shirt guarantee. If SweatBlock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, and it's a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. Over 13,000 reviews, manufactured in the USA. Wear what you want to wear. Your little secret to confidence. This is a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag. Whether it's a big presentation or a hot date, everybody can benefit. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, excessive sweating, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get 20% off at SweatBlock.com right now with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS, SweatBlock.com. General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to help make sure you find the candidates with the skills you need. When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. With Indeed, you can do it all. Hiring in one place, even interviewing. With Indeed's assessments, choose from 135 skill sets to help make sure you're finding applications from people with the skills you need. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. More than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And don't just hope for the perfect candidate you'll find. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offered valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily sports fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you the lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You are in total control. Stat Hero is the DFS, the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now. Change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free right now. You can get three times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Stathero.com/lockedon.
But, you know, when he is sharing the court with a guy like Derek White or Lonnie Walker or Keldon Johnson, and that guy drives to the basket and then sees DeJounte standing open in the corner, he's got to – he doesn't have to hit every one of those shots, but he has to take it confidently and hit them at a clip that the defense is forced to respect them.
Right.
But, I mean, when you look at the roster that the Spurs have put around DeJounte Murray this year, you know, it's very clear that the decision makers for the Spurs were looking at what they did last year. They saw we were near the bottom in the league in three-point efficiency, at the bottom in three-point attempts. We got to get some snipers. So Doug McDermott is here. Bryn Forbes is back. They got Jock Landale, a center who can shoot. And you know, they're going to be shooting the ball from deep a lot more, I think, just based on personnel.
Yeah.
So when you have that spread floor around DeJounte Murray, I think it's going to be positive. And, you know, let's not forget that last year in the starting lineup, he was sharing that starting lineup, playing less on the ball with DeMar DeRozan. So I think he's going to have a lot more opportunity to be at his most effective, which is with the ball in his hands. And I also think this is going to be his best year yet without the ball in his hands.
Right. And a quick note, that stat was provided by Cleaning the Glass. And of course, you know, you look in any other statistical websites when it comes to usage rate, you got Cleaning the Glass putting Derek at number two. You go to Basketball Reference, they got Derek at number five. So just depending on what stat site you go to, you know, but our point is, is that DeMar DeRozan is gone. Look at Rudy Gay, as mentioned earlier. He ranked second on the team, according to a Basketball Reference, in usage rate at 23.6. But yeah, this is an opportunity. What it boils down to, everybody, is that this just boils down to an opportunity for the young guys to really step up their game, step up their time. They're going to get minutes. It's going to happen. And there's going to have to be a question of who's going to be that guy that's consistently on the floor. Tom, what about this idea? Usage rate by committee. I mean, everybody's going to get a lot of burn. So, hey, Murray, White, Keldon, it's going to be you guys that we're going to go to down the stretch for the most of the game.
I think that one of the really interesting dynamics with this team is that, because they don't have that heliocentric star anymore in DeMar DeRozan, I think that the two-point guards are going to dictate a lot of the play. But I think to the game that they played super-duper shorthanded against the Phoenix Suns, right, and blew them out. And it's not exactly because Drew Eubanks, who started that game, is better than DeAndre Ayton, although he did feed him his lunch. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's because you're attacking by committee, the defense doesn't know that the ball's going to DeMar DeRozan. You know? They're like, who's going to take the shot? And that sort of unbalances it a little bit, makes it less predictable. And less predictable is good, because defenses try to predict and anticipate. And the more different looks that you can throw at a team, the better. And I think that this Spurs team especially is going to be one that hunts mismatches, because there will be one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're going to play against teams that have one guy in the backcourt who really isn't that great a defender. And you know what? That guy's going to have to guard either DeJounte Murray or Derek White. Maybe in a game where, you know, say Trae Young has to guard Derek White, they'll maybe say, hey, Derek, why don't you run point a little bit more this game? And then the Hawks will probably switch Trae Young to DeJounte, and they'll be like, all right, DeJounte, go get him. I think that this team is definitely going to be, one where they have to identify mismatches and mm-hmm. favorable matchups. But I think that's going to make them better at it. So it'll be interesting to watch, but there is some amount of Ewing effect that I'm looking for, you know, where the team's best offensive player is gone. Now everybody else has to do a little bit more, and maybe the team gels a little bit harder because of it.
Yeah. He is Tom Petrini. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at the real Tom Petrini. He's also my colleague over at Ken's 5 San Antonio. Go to kens5.com/Spurs right now, because it may be the doldrums of the NBA/Spurs offseason, but we're keeping it going right for you with everything you can think of from your San Antonio Spurs. Whether it be Keldon Johnson being active in the community to sneaker news, it's all there. kens5.com/Spurs. You know, before we transition to some news and notes, Tom, I just want to know, in the article you have upcoming, you're also talking about Ben Simmons, right? Because you're totally on the Ben Simmons to San Antonio thing, aren't you?
Here's
where you flip tables and start getting mad.
if you're not an avid listener of the show, you'll not know that my man is joking with me here. But so I'm writing individually on each one of these guys, right? And I think Al-Farouq Aminu and Thad Young is going to be like a package deal. Those two might come together, but everybody else will be individual. But for that package, the thing that seems to make the most sense is that they're not in San Antonio when the season starts. Mm-hmm. And Thad Young is at this point a far more effective player, and arguably, you know, a top three talents on this Spurs roster right now. He's on an expiring contract. He doesn't really fit age-wise. So toward the end of this piece, I am looking at, you know, potential trade packages, destinations, and what might make sense. We've heard Phoenix could be in the running for a Thad Young deal, and that would probably bring an injured Dario Saric back to San Antonio, and maybe Jalen Smith or a first-round pick potentially. Maybe the Celtics could be interested with their trade exception. Maybe the Hawks could be looking to unload somebody on a longer-term deal after giving John Collins a big deal. So Ben Simmons, Lord help me, I was playing with the trade machine.
That's deadly.
Yeah, and so I was looking at, like, what the most disrespectful lowball offer the Spurs could give Philadelphia for Ben Simmons if Ben Simmons drives his trade value, like, all the way down. And if you put Thad Young and Al-Farouq Aminu in there, it still leaves about $10-plus million worth of salary that you have to match because Ben Simmons is making, like, $33 million a year for the next 4 years. And if you are comfortable trading for a disgruntled superstar who reportedly wants to be on one of the three California teams in, like, places that aren't Sacramento, you know, like, if his criteria is like that, and he's on a 4-year deal, and you're still comfortable bringing him to San Antonio, you would need to throw in one of those point guards that the Spurs have, and either DeJounte Murray or Derek White. And you'd probably need to send picks to entice the Sixers to make that work. And basically, they would be cutting Aminu. Thad Young would be a year of front court depth for them. The value that Philly would extract from that is whatever else comes in the form of a young player or picks. And I don't really see the Spurs doing it. I don't really see the Sixers doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure endless lines? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you can need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So, yeah, we'll see on the Ben Simmons thing.
Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, hilarious to watch from afar. Like, it seems like a standoff where nobody has leverage of any sort. And everybody else is just kind of watching and waiting to, like, see if they can scrape up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, with Simmons reportedly telling the team, like, hey, it's not my job to raise my trade value. Like, that's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not his fault. Like, well, I mean, a lot of it is his fault. But also, the Sixers made it way worse.
Mm-hmm.
His coach and his superstar teammate called him out after the game. And, like, I get it. I would be frustrated, too, if the guy who, like, just signed a max deal and was, like, you know, top pick, like, you know, all-star, just whiffed on an open dunk, just didn't even attempt an open dunk in a game 7 that they wound up losing. Yeah, I'd be upset, too. And there are some, you know, serious issues with Simmons as a player in that regard. But if you do that, and then you actively shop the guy to anybody who you can, and, like, you're asking a lot of money, asking for a lot of return, but, like, you know, you've made it clear that you're not interested in making it work. And so now nobody has leverage.
Yeah.
And, like, what are they going to do if it comes training camp time and he's like, I'm not coming?
Yeah,
you know?
Fun times.
Like, how,
yeah.
How long are they going to let that situation ride out?
I mean, and that's one of the last things they want to start their season is to have that lingering behind. The Spurs know all about that with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, they could possibly go through that next season. Philadelphia, that is, can go through that next season with Ben. That question. Remember with the Kawhi Leonard season, the final one, where Pop finally got fed up and just threw his hands in the air and said, like, okay, y'all just have to talk to his camp. I mean, it got to that point. I could see that happening in Philadelphia.
I mean, I think it's kind of already there,
yeah.
Right? Like, it feels like we're at a point in this situation where we've reached the point of no return. It would surprise me to see Ben Simmons, certainly, it would surprise me to see him suit up for the Sixers again, period. But I don't think there's any way he makes it to the trade deadline. I think that the only way he plays is if all parties determine, like, all right, we're not going to get a trade that any of us like unless you go out there and you, like, you know, remind people that you're not a bad basketball, like, you're not as bad as the worst and most recent basketball game that you just played, you know? And that might be necessary here, but if that's what happens, then I don't think that the Spurs will have Thad Young and Al-Farouq Aminu on the roster to use as trade chips.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that front. The Spurs, as far as the Spurs being linked to Philly, that has kind of cooled somewhat. There's really not that many reports anymore from outlets mentioning Spurs and Philly for Ben. So we'll see what happens. But circling back to the usage rate thing, before we go into some news and notes and catch up the listener on some articles that they can go check out at kens5.com/Spurs. Lonnie Walker, according to Basketball Reference, he ranked sixth in usage rate last year with 20.1. Are you expecting that number to go up higher?
I think so. I think off the bench, he's going to become sort of more of a primary creator here with Patty Mills out. Part of that is he's been learning and growing and earning Pop's trust for the last several years. I think a lot of Spurs fans wanted to see more him getting the keys a little bit earlier, or at least getting a little bit of trust to go out and drive some. I think this is going to be a really big year for him. He's coming up on a contract extension. The Spurs can sign him to a contract extension this summer. We haven't seen any of that yet. Usually when they extend somebody like that, it's like the last possible minute. So we'll see what happens there. But, like, if he goes into this year without a new contract, he's going to have something to prove regardless. Mm-hmm. But especially if his next deal is going to be really riding on what he does this year, that's going to be really interesting to watch. And so,
right.
And we're also seeing Lonnie and all of these guys, we're seeing all of them at the furthest stage yet of their development.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody on this Spurs roster who has entered the, like, decline phase of their career yet, which is really exciting, right?
Right.
Because, you know, when you have an older team, And Spurs fans know this, it's like, when is it going to end? When is Timmy going to stop playing? Will Manu have his last run? You know, we saw Tony Parker kind of like fade out. That's father time. Everybody does it. But the joy of a rebuilding team, the joy of a team this young, is that, you know, everybody has potential still.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really fun dynamic, I think, for the team. So,
right. You
know, I think it's a big year for Lonnie. I think it's a big year for Luka. I think it's a big year for Derek and DeJounte and Keldon and Devin and everybody on this team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's exciting because because of that exact fact is that they're going to get their time. It's going to happen in just a few short weeks. Yeah, they're going to be looked at. They're going to be put on the spotlight now. They're going to be the ones with the car keys. And if they pan out and they really see a big jump, as we saw with DeJounte last year, you know, could we see that with Keldon? Possibly. I mean, his trajectory is just insane. You know, Devin, I mean, I expect Devin as well to see big jump in stats. You know, Lonnie, you know, what can he prove to us that he is that guy? And, you know, like you mentioned, it is a contract year for him. He's probably going to motivate him. And Tommy even goes down the road where, okay, they pan out, they play pretty good, you know. Hey, at this point of the Spurs chapter, they could be flipped. They could be used as trade chips. You know, it's just so much exciting things ahead for San Antonio, and it starts with this young crew. And Lonnie Walker, yeah, for me, it's Lonnie and Luka. Those two guys I have on my microscope entering next season. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think for both of them, it's they're both, I think, going to be stepping into bench roles that have really been room made for them by the departure of Patty Mills and mm-hmm. Rudy Gay. And like we saw Rudy Gay get a lot of minutes as that backup power forward. And not just minutes, but like not just minutes and not just touches and shots, but like the kind of shots where he dribbled around a bunch. And nothing wrong with dribbling. I don't hate dribbling, but when it's a guy who's past his prime doing that, and you have a guy who's 6'11" with face up skills, and you know you want to develop him. I think that moving on from all of these guys really indicates that the Spurs are ready, and they think that their players are ready for the increased mm-hmm. responsibility. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I really hope we see significant minutes for Luka Šamanić this year, even if it's, you know, between 10 and 15 minutes. I just hope it's a consistent role.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm right there with you too. When it comes to Luka, you know, I want to see what he can do because there's no more excuses. I believe after X amount of years, teams cannot force a player to go to the G League. Yeah, all they can do is ask them to go to the G League. So I hope he's not going to say, you know what, I agreed to that. I'm going to go to the G League. I hope he says, no, I want my time to play in the big boys with the varsity squad. So that, and, you know, he's definitely changed. You know, if you're going to use social media as some sort of gauge with Luka, it's a lot different. A couple of seasons ago, Luka was posting pictures of him hanging out with women and getting inked up left and right. Even he still does, but it's not as frequent anymore. Fast forward to this offseason, he's going to work, getting his body ready. I mean, he's beefed up.
He's looking,
you know,
thick. Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking thick. Yeah, and that's good. That's good to see because he could be kind of like a wild card for the Spurs next season. He is young. He's 6'10", 6'11", something like that. We know he's added muscle. He can knock down the open shot. He can run the floor. He can play defense. It's there. Give him the burn, San Antonio. And I think, with time, because he's going to need an adjustment period too, because the sample size we have, Tom, of him in NBA, on the NBA court is still small. So we need to see exactly what he's going to do. Tom, your final thoughts on Luka, Lonnie, and just the usage rate topic before we get into some Spurs news and notes.
I think that it would be hilariously Spurs if, you know, they lost the three veterans that, you know, more casual NBA fans recognize their names and know who they are. And then all of a sudden, the young core that they've been building for 6 years through the draft and through trades, all really gelled, all stepped up in their own way. And then you've got Luka Šamanić, a European player who, you know, the Spurs drafted several years ago, and oh wait, hold on, he's 6'11" and can do all of this.
Yeah, exactly.
I very much am looking forward to the segments on ESPN or whatever where they're like, "Who is this guy?
Yep,
and what's
yep.
his deal?"
Yep,
I'm excited for that. And they yep. like, you know, we're still
are we going to hear the Spurs. Are we going to hear the Spurs did it again in the draft? They
Spurs
found a gem over
yeah.
again. They're going to hear that. Right? I hope so. I hope that happens. Because I think Luka definitely deserves his
chance.
I
hope it happens for Luka, but I know it'll happen for somebody this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the excitement of this team. You're not sure who it's going to be, but you know somebody's going to make a really
Jock.
Impressive leap this year.
It's going to be Jock Landale. I know it's going to be Jock. Just but
it's Jock.
It's Jock, baby. And his first fan, and his first, he's already like a fan favorite. He hasn't played even 1 minute in a Spurs uniform. So
you gotta love his attitude though. Like
yeah.
if Patty Mills was like a cuddly, you know, docile koala, friendly Australian,
yeah.
Jock is like a kangaroo who wants to fight you.
Yeah.
But like in a really endearing way. so yeah, no, I love his attitude. I think he's gonna be a really fun fit on this team.
Absolutely. He is Tom Petrini. He is my colleague over at Kens5.com. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at RealTomPetrini. Why? Well, just because you have to, because not only does he cover everything that's going on in the city of San Antonio and then some, he's also giving you a great Spurs article that'll be coming out on Kens5.com/Spurs. Hopefully when, Tom? This week maybe? Or you still need time for that thing to cook?
Oh, yeah. Well, so I'm going to be talking to a Thad Young expert in the next couple days, Mark Schindler of the Indie Cornrows. So the Thad Young and Aminu one should be out, I think, early this week. And then, yeah, it's just going to be a train of them going from Al-Farouq Aminu to, say, DeJounte Murray.
All right.
So yeah, no, I'm really excited. I love doing deep dives, love breaking down what these guys do. So
exactly
excited to share that with you guys.
Exactly. You know, so before we dive into the news and notes, because we're running up against the clock here, but interesting enough, when I had two meetings with Ken's Five when I left my former spot to here, and the first meeting was with the bigwigs, and it's funny, one of them told me, "Jeff, we just want you to do what you did for your former home." So then you fast forward to the second meeting I had with the web team, and Tom was on that call. And then Tom tells me the exact same thing that the big boy said. Jeff, you just need to unleash. That's all. And that's what I've been doing in this offseason. Let's go to talk about what's going on at Kens5.com/Spurs. Here we go. Some news and notes. Tom, you're a busy man. I know sometimes maybe you get caught up at work, and I get it. I get it. But I got your back. At our Spurs section, what more can
you
say?
You write so much. You write so much.
They're quick shots. They're quick shots. They're like just jab punches. Then once in a while, I find a good right hook and I throw it. And hey, speaking of right hooks, it goes right into our first news and notes. The Spurs once again are going back to San Antonio's famous boxer Jesse James Leha to give the young guy some off-season training. That's awesome. He's done that in years. And he posts some videos, some photos of getting ready to train the Spurs. You can check that out at kens5.com/Spurs. But Tom, interesting to find out. He says Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson, and Luka Šamanić have the best hands in the ring. Tom, your thoughts?
I was going to ask, which member of this Spurs team would you least want to see in the ring? I think it's Keldon because, like, I bet technique-wise, it's a little there's work to be done, but he would just rip your head off, you know, like before the refs could get involved.
Right.
Yeah. No. I love any time these guys are training in creative ways. I think that getting fit is something that like it's a struggle. You know, it's like I hate running. I don't like lifting weights. Boxing is fun though, like just punching something and learning how to do learning that skill. It keeps your brain active. It's really good. And I always think about Tim Duncan kickboxing and how he could probably still, like, if you dropped him in an NBA game, he could probably still put up like 15 and 10 and win a fight.
Oh, yeah. So easy. Yeah. I got Luka as my dark horse.
That reach advantage is going to be, like, just too much.
Yeah. I got Luka. If you want to see more about that story, go to kinsfi.com/Spurs. In other Spurs news and notes, what more can you say about Keldon Johnson? Aside from his rise on the court, you know, budding NBA star, hopefully that turns into fruition next season. He continually gives back to the San Antonio community. In this instance, he took part in Lanier High School. For those of you outside of San Antonio or Texas, it's a high school in San Antonio on the west side, for their sports night. It was the night where they just opened up their sports season. Keldon was there in line with the basketball players shooting hoops and taking photos with the community in San Antonio. Keldon is really ingraining himself into this community, isn't he, Tom?
Absolutely. And I mean, everything he does with pure joy. It's always a huge smile, and he loves putting that smile on other people's faces. It's really fun to watch him do that stuff. I think he might have been working out in their gym during the off season or maybe last year. So there might be some relationship there with, they've been treating him well and he decided to show up and that's a really cool thing. For student athletes, high school student athletes in San Antonio, Spurs are, I mean, as big as it gets for hometown sports heroes.
Exactly. I am waiting to find out and write about this on kins5.com/Spurs that a rapper dedicated a song to you, Tom. I'm waiting for that to happen. Yeah, because it happened to Manu Ginobili.
I'm not quite at Manu's level yet, though I appreciate that. I would love to have some. If anybody in San Antonio wants to rap about my semi-charmed life, I would be honored.
You can watch Italian rapper pay homage to the Spurs legend Manu Ginobili with a new song and music video. Yes. Go to kinsfi.com/Spurs right now. Check out the video. It's right there. It's just a full disclosure. It's in Italian. So maybe you can pick up every once in a while a word, but the gist of it is basically he is praising Manu's path from the Italian league. Let's not forget, everybody, he started in Italy, his pro career, and then eventually made it to the NBA. And the rapper just talks about a similar path for him. Hopefully he will rise to stardom as Manu did. And finally, big news, the Las Vegas Aces. Yes, the former team that used to be called the San Antonio Stars are set to raise Spurs Becky Hammon's jersey this week. The quote from Aces president Nikki Farga said, "Becky Hammon played a huge part in the history of our franchise before it moved to Las Vegas." End quote. That is why they're going to honor her. I mean, what more can you say about Becky, Tom?
I mean,
jeez,
Becky Hammon was not just a she wasn't just a WNBA player. She wasn't just a good WNBA player. She was one of the best ever. Another thing that you wrote was she was recently named one of the top 25, I think, in the 25 years of the league.
WNBA,
near the top all-time in career points, career assists, career three-point percentage.
Yeah.
Becky with the good handles, an absolute legend. So very, very proud of her, very happy for her.
Exactly.
And she's going to be clearly the lead assistant on this team this year. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you can read all that and more at kens5.com. We're getting it covered. And this is just the beginning. Once the regular season, preseason gets going, Tom, myself, the rest of the team, we're going to be bringing it to you every day at kens5.com/Spurs. It's going to be a treat. I'm using this offseason to get my feet warm with my new home. And once the regular season gets going, it is showtime. Expect a lot of stuff from Tom, those original articles, you know, long forms, all that good stuff, and with me giving out those quick jabs, and then once in a while, a hate maker. Also, aside from Lockdown Spurs, make sure to look forward to a new episode of the Big Fundamental Podcast provided to you by Kensfight.com. I have not been on it. I think it's because I got in a fight with Joe Reinagle at the end. So I think, Joe nixed me.
Joe doesn't have that much pull, honestly.
All right. Look forward to that as well. But yeah. Once again, make sure to follow Tom on Twitter at RealTomPetrini. Again, look forward to his articles that are coming out regarding the players, each and every single one of them. Subscribe to Lockdown Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, like Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. The list goes on and on. You can tell your smart speaker to play Lockdown Spurs. So for Tom Petrini, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Lockdown Spurs.